Grace, you and peace from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Have you ever experienced something out of time? The most common is probably that too late in time offer. The old crush that asks you out after you've moved on. The perfect job that comes after you've just bought a house somewhere else. But I'm thinking a bit of the other way. Something that you know comes too early in time. The thing that feels like a promotion, or that you might eventually regret not following, but it's a not yet. The job offer in California after a graduation when you've been living and looking in Pennsylvania. The proposal from a high school sweetheart when you've been looking at schools out of state. The buddy who wants to start a company that you've just been promoted where you're at. Things that you want, things that you plan for, but the opportunity comes out of time. Or maybe we should just say, out of time as we imagine it flowing. And I want to take something that might seem like a detour, but I don't think it's completely out of time. Within the Old Testament, within Judaism of the Old Testament, there were three traveling or pilgrimage festivals. Every Israelite who could do so was encouraged to make the pilgrimage to Jerusalem for the feast on these days. The Passover, which was March or April, or roughly in planting season. And I'm going to emphasize those two things, both the season and the religious reason for the feast, because they both have a purpose. So Passover was planting, with the religious reason being that was the formation of the people of Israel, the Exodus. The second of these festivals was Pentecost, or weeks. It was in June, and celebrated the early wheat harvest. The religious purpose of Pentecost was the giving of the law on Sinai. The giving of the thing that empowered this new people and the covenant into the future. And the last of those three pilgrimage festivals was Sukkot, or booths, or tabernacles, variously called. It was held in October, just after the final harvest. It was called tabernacles because people were to build tents and live in them for the feast, for the remembrance of the 40 years in the wilderness right before Israel crosses into the promised land. So the proper order in time was Pentecost, weeks, and tabernacles. Planting, growing, reaping. The formation by God, the living of the covenant, and its final fulfillment. As Paul would say in Romans, whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction. These were the shadows of the fulfillment to come. And I think that we're used to just saying that Peter is an idiot. And what the gospel writers say doesn't completely discourage that. Mark today says, for he did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Matthew just has God the Father start speaking over Peter and drowning him out. Luke says, he did not realize what he was saying. So we usually just jumped to Peter felt some kind of need to respond to the majesty that he was seeing. but he didn't know what, so he's just babbling to fill the silence. Although today, as a good Jew, I want to assert that Peter wasn't as far off as we might think. He was just out of time. He didn't realize that what he was saying, because he was out of time. Because what does Peter suggest? Let us make three tents. What he's suggesting is akin to the festival of booths or tabernacles. And this might be where Jesus himself is a bit out of time. Because the transfiguration is Jesus radiant in all of his glory. It's a picture of that final eternal glory. And I challenge you to go read the resurrection stories. Jesus in those is never described as being radiant. Although I admit that we gloss that onto it. But if you read it, it's not the angels at the tomb are glorious and radiant. But Jesus isn't. Jesus in all his glory does align with the final harvest, the movement into the promised land. Peter's connection of tents, of tabernacles, isn't that bad. It's just out of time. And why is it out of time? Because the immediate preceding story was Peter's confession of the Christ and Jesus predicting the cross over the coming Passover festival. The Son of Man must suffer many things and be killed. And on the third day, rise. And Peter famously rejects that, which earns him Jesus' rebuke. Because Passover comes well before tabernacles. On top of that, Luke tells us that Moses and Elijah, as they're talking with Jesus, are discussing with Jesus his coming exodus. Luke literally just transliterates that word. They were talking about his exodus. Or if you look it up, our English translators completely kill that by rendering it his departure. Yeah, it's a departure of sorts. But this Passover is the exodus of Jesus. Jesus is going to bid these disciples to go down the mountain as he sets his face to Jerusalem. Just as at the Exodus in the Old Testament was the majestic act of God that created the people of Israel, that redeemed them from their slavery. The trials and cross and resurrection are the Exodus of Christ. They are the mighty acts of God that recreate the people of Israel. A people redeemed not from the slavery of Pharaoh, but redeemed from our slavery to sin and death, the power of Satan. Jesus is going to go down this slope, and the fulfillment of the Exodus, the fulfillment that continues today, starts. God is going to bear his holy arm and with signs and wonders do what is necessary to bring his people out of that land of deep darkness. This isn't exactly how we think about it typically, but it's the time order in the Bible. The act of God, whether it's the creation of everything itself, or the Passover, or the cross and resurrection, those acts of God are the beginning of things. Lent starts Wednesday, stands as a short winter season before that action, a season of waiting and preparation. God has promised that He will act, and we wait for His action. And like winter, it always seems to go on too long. Things get too cold. We might not make it. Like Moses and Elijah standing there who did not see the completion of things. But they saw it from a distance in faith. And here they are, glorified on the mountain, because Christ brings His people out. But Peter's offering is still out of time. He not only blitzes the Passover, he skips Pentecost. If the Old Testament covenant was sealed with the law, the New Testament covenant would be sealed with the Spirit. The Holy Spirit that takes residence in you. If that Old Testament people of God wandered in the wilderness for 40 years eating manna, the New Testament people remain here in the power of the Spirit on the body and blood of Christ. Maybe the 40 years will be over within our lifetimes. Probably not. We will probably be more like Moses and Elijah here. Or like one even earlier in Genesis, Enoch, who was taken up by God. Are we willing to follow God through this wilderness? Or do we long for whatever we think Egypt, the devil, the world, and our flesh will offer us? Because there is this early harvest celebration, the down payment of the Spirit, this Pentecost that must be walked through in its order. Only then do you arrive at that tabernacle. Only then would the offering of the tents be appropriate. When we are all recreated, when we are reclothed, put in new tents in the resurrection body, when we all cross the Jordan into the promised land, when we all can climb Mount Zion of the New Jerusalem, when we too will be changed in the twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet, when this treasure that we carry in jars of clay is allowed to shine like the sun. Peter wasn't stupid. He knew what this looked like. It was the promise. It was the ingathering of the saints, the last day of the old tents. He was just out of time. Moses and Elijah vanish. The voice is done echoing. The light has gone back into those jars. And Jesus motions down the mountain, down to the sequence. Passover first, then Pentecost, then tabernacle. Peter, which way are you going? Will you walk with me this way? In time. Through time. We'll get there. I promise. But in the right time. Amen.